Michael Avery.
Well, South Africans using foreign trusts for estate planning and asset protection are in for a bit of a wake-up call. A long-standing tax loophole allowing low or interest-free loans to foreign trusts has just been shut down. The latest amendment to the Income Tax Act means that these loans could now trigger donations tax and transfer pricing adjustments, significantly altering financial planning for those affected taxpayers. Well, to unpack the implications and what this means for estate planning, I'm joined by Mariska Delport, associate in the Tax and Exchange Control Practice at CDH Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr, top law firm. Mariska, welcome to Classic Business. Let's just start with the big picture. I think for years, South Africans have used foreign trusts for estate planning and asset protection purposes. Can you just break down how that low or interest-free loan mechanism worked and why it became such a widely used loophole?
Certainly. So a key focus of the Income Tax Act is to protect the South African tax base by preventing impermissible tax avoidance. Many wealthy individuals used cross-border trust structures to protect their wealth and to avoid donations tax under Section 7C. Section 7C was introduced as an anti-avoidance measure to stop individuals from shifting their wealth to connected trusts while avoiding certain taxes. It does this by taxing low interest or interest-free loans to such connected trusts by treating the shortfall between the actual interest charged on the loan advanced and the official interest rate as determined by the Income Tax Act as a deemed donation, which will then be subject to donations tax. So before the amendments, sorry, I know it's a bit of a long explanation.
No, carry on.
Before the amendment, the cross-border loans to connected trusts that fell under our Section 31 transfer pricing rules were excluded from the operation of Section 7C. So Section 31 transfer pricing rules governs cross-border transactions and requires that loans between connected persons be at an arm's length interest rate, meaning a rate similar to what independent parties would charge. Because these loans were excluded from Section 7C, taxpayers could set a lower arm's length interest rate and avoid donations tax, even if the official interest rate required under Section 7C was higher. So this amendment removes that blanket exclusion, pulling cross-border loans into the operation of Section 7C.
But, I mean, just so I'm on the same page as you, tax avoidance is legitimate. You're using legitimate means of using the tax laws in order to pay less tax. Tax evasion, on the other hand, is illegal. It means you want to evade paying what you legally have to over to the receiver. You've now mentioned that Section 7C has been amended. What are the key changes that taxpayers need to be aware of?
So Section 7C was only amended to include cross-border loans that are subject to Section 31 to the extent that an adjustment has been made. So if the arm's length interest rate charged on a cross-border loan is shown to be lower than the official interest rate as required by Section 7C, the difference will now be taxed as a donation under Section 7C.
So it creates a situation where that shortfall between an arm's length interest rate and the actual rate is deemed a donation. What does this mean in terms of the layers of taxation taxpayers will now face?
The amendment means that taxpayers who make cross-border loans to connected trust could now face multiple layers of taxation. First, under Section 31 of the transfer pricing rules, if the loan is interest-free or at a low interest rate, or at least lower than an arm's length interest rate, SARS will treat the shortfall as taxable income for the lender, meaning they will have to declare and pay tax on it. Then further, also under the transfer pricing rules, there will be a secondary adjustment, which depends on whether the lender is an individual or a company. If the lender is a company, the unpaid interest, that shortfall, will be treated as a dividend in specie and taxed accordingly. And if the lender is a natural person, the unpaid interest is treated as a deemed donation. On top of that, now after this, the Section 7C amendment, if the interest charged on the loan is lower than the official interest rate, the difference will also be taxed as a donation. So even after paying tax under the transfer pricing rules of Section 31, there could still be an additional donations tax under Section 7C. So in short, taxpayers can now face income tax on the missing interest, dividends or donations tax under Section 31, and additional donations tax under Section 7C. So this makes it far more expensive to lend money to a foreign trust at little or no interest.
It begs a question as to whether or not that kind of structure is worth the candle at all. But if you've got existing loan arrangements, what should you be doing now to mitigate any unexpected tax burdens? Are there restructuring options that might soften the blow?
I think it is definitely prudent for individuals that are currently using cross-border trust structures for asset protection and to ensure the seamless succession of their generational wealth, to go back and review the terms of any loans made between themselves and their trusts. And to the extent that they think they may have exposure, they should certainly approach a tax practitioner or some person with knowledge of how these two sections interact to assist them in maybe restructuring the loans or changing the terms of the loan or finding an appropriate way to mitigate their exposure.
Yeah, well, I would certainly caution that if you've got a foreign trust that you should be reassessing your financial structure and just going and having a look. The amendment does bring South Africa more in line with international tax norms. How does it compare to global tax trends, particularly in jurisdictions that have cracked down on tax avoidance through trusts?
This amendment aligns completely with the global efforts to combat tax avoidance, or should I say impermissible tax avoidance, such as the OECD's base erosion and profit shifting initiative, which essentially ensures that profits are taxed where the economic activity takes place, and also strengthens transfer pricing rules to prevent tax base erosion. Many countries, including the United Kingdom, the United States, and Australia, have tightened their tax rules on cross-border transactions. So by implementing this change, South Africa is simply aligning itself with its with the international tax standards to ensure fair taxation.
From a broader policy perspective, I know with Donald Trump in the White House, he's pushing back at what has been a trend towards a more global harmonization around minimum tax. Do you think this is the beginning of a more aggressive push by SARS to tighten regulations around offshore structures? Or should high net worth individuals and tax practitioners be preparing for more changes?
I certainly think that high net worth individuals and tax practitioners need to be preparing for change. It's difficult to kind of speculate on the changes they will be making because there will need to be a balance between overregulation and alienating individuals that contribute a lot to our South African taxes, and just ensuring that those individuals are actually taxed in a fair manner. I cannot speculate on how Trump's policy decisions will affect South Africa, given how we have been reacting to Trump's utterances and decisions thus far. So it's definitely interesting times on the horizon, and we should all just keep an eye out to ensure that we understand all of the changes that will be made and how they impact us. As taxpayers.
Absolutely. Very difficult to speculate about anything coming out of the Oval Office at the moment with Donald Trump in charge and with tax authorities outside of the US certainly tightening the screws on offshore wealth structures. This amendment is yet another signal that SARS is serious about closing loopholes. The question is, how hard can the receiver squeeze if you're talking about that layer of taxpayer that is a significant contributor at a time when the revenue tills are rather empty, as we saw from the recent budget postponement. Well, if you're affected, now's the time to revisit your financial strategy and consult with the right experts. Mariska Delport from Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr, thanks so much for breaking it all down for us here on Classic Business.
Thank you.